Hello everyone, my name is Elijah Davis, Minister of the 12th South Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th South in Elgin, Texas. Today is March the 15th, 2024, or is the 16th day of Via Dar 2028. We will start our first service on this Sabbath day with a song and then with our prayer, and then we'll go on into the study of the Word. We're on volume 2 of the Shepherd's Rod, page 78. We're continuing with the subject of the woman of Revelation 12. What is an apostle? Answer. One that is separated unto the gospel of the Lord. But if this is the only meaning of the title, then all who are engaged in the proclamation of the gospel, being separated, must be apostles. Therefore, the word apostle must have a special a significance and a deeper a meaning than simply separated unto the gospel of the Yahweh. For the apostle Paul was called to be an apostle for the Gentiles. Thus he, with the 11, became the earthly founders of the Church of the Gentiles and Yahshua as the divine head. Speaking of the gifts in the church, apostles are the first, for without a founder, there would be no organization. Thus, the rest of the gifts follow. See 1 Corinthians 12:28. For the crown is your glory, and the stars, 12 apostles, are her only earthly authority. Here is a striking evidence that the present-day apostles are falsely so-called, for a prophet may claim authority as a prophet, but never as an apostle. However, there is a difference between the prophets of the Old Testament and the ones of the New, for the latter being under or with the authority of the former. In the other words, he may be an interpreter or a revealer of the Bible, for all the prophets and the law, parentheses, a ceremonial in type, prophesied until John, Matthew 11:13. Interpretation is correct only when inspired by the same Spirit. Thus, the timely utterances are revealed not only do the annals of the history prove this, but the Bible is very emphatic on the subject, for it plainly says that we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Yahshua himself being the chief cornerstone, Ephesians 2:20. Again we read, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all the truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. John 16:13. Where is the need for such apostles? Are not the words of the apostles in the Bible? If we should appoint a set of such men, would we not set aside the woman and her 12-star crown? If we set aside the crown by the voluntary election of apostles, what will we do with the gospel committed unto the church by the Yahshua's ordained apostle? Here the authority by the crown of the stars. For though we are an angel from the heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Galatians 1:8-9. For such are the false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of the Yahshua, 2 Corinthians 11:13. For the world is filled with the so-called apostles and sects of every kind, is it not? It is time for the Yahweh's people to fall on their knees before their Creator and study the Scriptures for themselves, that they may know what is of the truth. Why should we accept the decision of another? By so doing, we are robbed of an experience of our own. If so, may we not ask the question, what is the future outlook of the world? No one is saved because he may admit the evidence of the truth, or because he may belong to the right church or creed. It is only by an experience of his own, based upon the evidences of the truth received into the heart, that can renew the mind and regenerate the soul so that he can walk in the newness of the life. It is utterly impossible for the entering into the kingdom of the Yahshua without a personal touch of the divine glory. For the Yahshua said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of the Yahweh." John 3:3. For the following scriptures bear the same evidence. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart and the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of the Yahweh. Romans 2:28-29. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of the Yahweh. 1 Corinthians 7:19. And rend your heart, not your garment, and turn unto the Yahweh, or Yahshua, the Son of the Yahweh, for he is gracious and merciful, slow unto anger, and of the great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Joel 2:13. For they that are such serve not our Savior Yahshua, but their own belly, and by the good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Romans 16:18. For the returning to our original thought, the 11 were allowed for the performing of the ordination of the Matthias for a lesson unto this present day, with its new model religion, showing that the Yahweh has committed unto no man apostolic authority save unto the 12, for the commission is for the ministry is, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Matthew 28:19-20. So thou, O Son of the Man, I have set thee as a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them for me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou durst not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Ezekiel 33:7-8. In the reality, the 12 stars on a woman's crown originally represent the 12 patriarchs, later the 12 tribes of the flesh of Israel, and after that the 12 apostles, and last the 12 tribes of the spiritual Israel, the 144,000. Thus again, it proves number 4 to be an important number, and that by the woman, these 4 periods are represented. Yahweh, who foresaw the selfishness of men, commanded the prophet to write the following: you eat the fat, and you clothe you with the wool. You kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. For the disease have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, now that have you sought that which was lost, that with the force and with the cruelty have you ruled them. And they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became meat unto all of the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill, yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Yahweh. As I live, saith the Yahweh, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat unto every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Yahweh. Thus saith the Yahweh, behold, I am against the shepherd, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. For thus saith the Yahweh, behold, I will go search my sheep and seek them out. Ezekiel 14:3-11. As a comparison, the Spirit of the Yahweh drew a literal picture from the flock of the sheep and shepherd, Yahweh's people as a flock, and the missionaries as a shepherd. For Yahweh's true people will imitate the sheep, and his watchmen will imitate the good shepherd and who cares for his sheep. Anything less than this is an abomination in the Yahweh's sight. If we are to learn the lesson intended, we must first acquire a clear understanding of the type, shepherds and flocks. For the antitype, ministers and church members are asked to copy after the pattern. For the picture is drawn from the ancient method of the herding of the flock, as the only pasture of the mountains and hills required the shepherd's continual care over the sheep, for the vast territory drew the sheep and shepherds a considerable distance from home, and the continual moving over the landscape made it impossible for the obtaining of a permanent shelter of any kind for the sheep or shepherds. Consequently, other help was needed, for each shepherd had a certain number of the dogs, depending on the size of the flock, for the safety of his sheep from the man and beast. As one thing called for another, an ass was used for the carrying of the necessary supplies for the sheep, dogs, and shepherds, for these consisted of the clothing, night covering, food for the shepherds, as well as for the dogs, medicine, bandages, etc. The faithful animal carried the load on his back throughout each day of the year. At the end of the day, the shepherd counted his sheep. If one was missing, he went to search for it at once, as it was not safe for one to wander apart from the sheep or from the flock, for the excellent condition of the sheep was the evidence of the shepherd's fidelity and worthiness of his heart. He not only had to seek good pasture, but act as a veterinarian as well. Often a sheep would break its leg, and it was the shepherd's duty to skillfully set splinter and bandage the wound. And the traveling over the rough surface of the land, where there were rocks and brush, accidents were frequent. Sometimes if someone would prick the flesh or other minor injury occur, that probably caused no pain and would not be noticed by the shepherd. Yet a fly might have deposited his eggs or her eggs in the open sore, and larvae would soon develop and work their way under the skin and to the bone. This was a common occurrence. At such a time, the shepherd's attendance is turned to the ailment of the sheep, and he must then give his special care and bandage the wound. When a lamb or even a sheep was sick and too weak to follow the flock, it was the shepherd's duty for the caring for of it and carry them. For if he should have a lamb in his arms, the mother sheep is constantly by his side, gazing at the and speaking unto it. These noble creatures care, feed, and keep their lambs spotlessly clean. Are you mothers doing as much for your children? Are you shepherds, ministers of the flock of Yahweh, doing all that the ancient shepherd did for his sheep? Or do you feed and care for yourselves more than you do for the flock of Yahweh? Are you worthy of your hire? Question mark. For the ancient shepherd had to give a complete account of the flock, even unto the smallest detail. Do you think Yahweh will require less of you and not his sheep of the much greater value? Or not his sheep of the much greater value? For the David risked his life for a lamb, but the Yahweh delivered him from the lion and the bear. For the David, for the Yahweh's honor and for the safety of his people, endangered his own life, faced the giant Goliath, but the Yahweh delivered the Philistine into the David's hands and made David king over his nation. Do you think he will do less for you if you too imitate the good shepherd? Said Yahshua, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep, but he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the shepherd, the sheep or not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catches them and scattereth the sheep. For the hireling fleeth because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and are known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. John 10:11-15. For the prophet Isaiah, looking forward unto the present day conditions, said, They are greedy dogs, which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look unto their own way, every one for his gain, from his quarter. Isaiah 56:11. End of subject, woman, Revelation 12. We're going to go into the second subtitle of our study, The Leopard-Like Beast, Revelation 13:1-10. And that's on 2 Shepherd Rod, Volume 2. This is a for the nondescript beast of the Daniel 7 representing Rome in his first stage shows prophetically by his 10 horns that there were 10 kings to arise out of Rome. In his second stage, it is shown that the papacy was to arrive, subdue 3 kings, and wear out the saints of the Most High. For the space of 1260 years, but it tells not of the fall of the Roman monarchy or the papacy, for it is silent concerning the Reformation that came before or after 1798 A.D. Therefore, the lack of the information by the symbols of this beast must be found somewhere else in the prophetic word of Yahweh. This must be sought in the book of the Revelation, for it is a complement unto the Daniel's prophecies. For the leopard-like beast of the Revelation 13:1-10 is the only symbolical prophecy that tells of the fall of the Roman monarchy, or the crowning of the 10 kings, the wound of the papacy, the Reformation and rise of the Protestantism, and the captivity of the Pope. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horn 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of the blasphemy, Revelation 13:1. Note, this beast has the same number of the horns as the nondescript in his first state, Imperial Rome. Daniel says, for the 10 horns on the beast representing Rome are the 10 kings that shall arise. Daniel 7:24. For the horns symbolizing the Roman world and its imperial state also pointed forward unto the time when the empire would be divided into 10 spirits of this kingdom. Oh, let's do it again. Let's read that last sentence again. For the horns symbolizing the Roman world and its imperial state also pointed forward unto the time when the empire would be divided into the 10 parts of the kingdom. In the other words, while the horns primarily represented the Roman world in its imperial form, they secondarily denote the present world and its divided state since the fall of the Roman, corresponding with the 10 toes on the great image of the Daniel 2. For the nondescript beast in his first stage has 10 horns, as in his second stage, the little horn came up, and 3 of the 10 were picked up by the roots, for it denotes that they can never be reinstated as the kings, the horns being reduced unto the biblical number 7, signifies that the papacy was to have complete sway over the entire world as far as the apostolic church is concerned. Therefore, the 10 horns on the leopard-like beast of Revelation 13:1 cannot signify that the 3 uprooted ones have assumed their authority the second time. As the same number of the horns appear on each succeeding beast, namely the nondescript, Daniel 7:7, the leopard-like, Revelation 13:1, and the scarlet-colored beast, Revelation 17:3, representing the entire New Testament era, it is evident by the facts gathered that the number of the horns are intended for the denoting of the universal, as they are absent from the beast of Revelation 13:11-18. It verifies the fact that the 2-horned beast denotes the local system. Therefore, it is unquestionably clear that the fixed number of the horns, 10, are designed for the universally symbolized the people and government bodies, the chart on page 84. Inasmuch as the lion, the bear, the four-headed leopard, and the two nondescript beasts, the symbols of the Babylonian Persia, Grecia, and Rome, are linked unto each other. The unbreakable chain of the beast make it impossible for another universal beast system to intersect the connective order. Consequently, the leopard-like beast of the Revelation 13:1-9 must follow the nondescript beast of Rome, Revelation 13:2-3, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and a great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded unto the death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. For the composition of the beast revealed of the fact that he is as a descendant from the four beasts before him. For the mouth of a lion, the feet of a bear, the body of a leopard, and the number of the horns, 10, all point back unto his hereditary characteristics as descending from the Babylon, Medo-Persia, Grecia, and the Rome. This indisputable fact proves that he is the fifth universal beast. For the leopard-like beast arises out of the sea, in the same manner as the four beasts before it, Daniel 7:3. Therefore, the beast of the Revelation 13:1-9 is created from the result of the war and commotion among the nations in the same manner as the Babylon, Medo-Persia, Grecia, and Rome. Since the evidence revealed by the symbol cannot be questioned, the leopard-like beast assumed the persona after the fall of the Imperial Rome, corresponding to the feet and toes, iron and clay of the great image in Daniel 2. In other words, the leopard-like beast arrives with the closing period represented by the first stage of the nondescript beast, while the second stage of the latter pagan Rome continued up to 1798. Consequently, the unfolding process of the one overlaps the downward course of the other. Under John, the leopard-like beast was shown not in its unfolding process, but rather in its closing up, for it says, and his deadly wound was healed. He saw in the vision the beast after the deadly wound had been healed, for he uses the past tense, was, but in Daniel's vision, the work of the nondescript beast was all in the future, said the prophet, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the sense of the Most High, and the thing to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hands until a time, times, and the dividing of time, Daniel 7:25. For the Daniel in the vision viewed the history represented by the beast forward, while John looked backward, or in other words, Daniel saw what the beast was to do, while John was shown what the heart had done. Okay, that's the end of that topic. Our next subtitle is, and topic is, the crowns and the horns. And our subtitle, it said the crowns and the horns. Okay. Okay. We're dealing with the crowns and the horns. It says, of the beast having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, John says, and I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, for that wounded head represents the papacy who was wounded by Martin Luther, which was originally symbolized by the horn head of the nondescript beast, showing only that the papal power, the authority. Let's look at this again. For the wounded head represents the papacy, wounded by the Martin Luther, which was originally symbolized by the horn head of the nondescript beast, showing only that the papal power and the authority. But the leopard light shows the papacy in her wounded state, and the imprisonment of the Pope. Thus the two beasts, the nondescript and the leopard light, overlap each other from the fall of the Imperial Rome to 1798. Therefore, while the nondescript beast in its second stage represents the papacy, she is secondarily described by the leopard like the one reveals the tyrannical authority, and the other describes her downfall. For the little horn was to have power and wear out the saints of the Most High for the 1260 years, Daniel 7:25. But the leopard-like also opened his mouth in the blasphemy, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months, Revelation 13:6. For the number of the months is equivalent to time and time, and the dividing of time, 1260 days, figuring 30 days to the month. With the imprisonment of Pope Pius the VI and his death on August 19, 1799, a certain transaction occurred between the nondescript and the leopard-like beast, and making the change, the little horn having the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking great things was transposed from horn head into a common wounded head, showing that the papacy had lost her ecclesiastical authority and was no longer represented by a horn-head combination of the church and state. As that event terminated, the prophetic period of the 1260 years of the Daniel 7:25 and Revelation 13:5, it completely crowned the horns of the leopard like beast, signifying that the state is now independent of the church. The crowns on his head denote the fall of the Roman monarchy, showing that the ten kings, which were symbolized by the ten horns of the nondescript beast, have received their kingdom. Where horns and heads all represent. That's the next subtitle. I, John, saw the beast having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns. Let us not overlook the fact that all horns, crowns, and heads are present on the beast. Therefore, whatever meaning is derived by the symbol, all must be in existence at the time that his deadly wound is healed. Had it not been so, the symbols of the heads and horns would have come one after another, as it was with the little horn and the other three that were plucked up from the nondescript beast. Of Daniel 7:7, a similar method is observed with the goat after the notable horn Alexander was broken off. Four came up to take its place, the four divisions of Grecia, and after these came up, the exceeding great horn, which primarily represented Rome, Daniels 8, 8, and 9, where systems and governments do not all exist at the same time. The symbols show the consecutive order. Another factor to be noted, that every symbol of the entire procession of the beast point out facts that were to transpire within the periods represented by each beast, and not one of them refers to anything in the past save the hereditary ancestral characteristics. Therefore, beast or horn have no reference to anything before or after the period represented by the beast. It is also unnatural for heads, members of the beast, to exist before or after the beast himself. Therefore, it would be inconsistent to conclude that the horns as well as the heads could denote a consecutive order of the system, so long as they all appear at the time of the closing act of the beast. The leopard-like beast in his wounded state must be intended for the prophetically pointing out of the existing condition with the present civilization. The symbol of the heads, this is our next subtitle, it is impossible that both horns and heads could stand for the civil governments of the king. If the horns represents the political side, then the heads cannot. John says of the leopard like beast, I saw one of his heads as they were wounded to death. As the head that was wounded represents a religious system, then all seven must represent religious organizations, for all heads are alike save the wound. And thus it is an unmistakable fact that the symbols are intended to reveal both the civil and the religious side of the present world. For the crowns represent civil authority, as previously explained. Had they been on the heads, like on the dragon, of the Revelation 12:3, it would denote that the churches are using the civil arm of the state to propagate the dogma, as in the days of the imperial and papal Rome, represented by the dragon. But since the crowns are on the horns and the state is independent from the church, it proves that the symbol by the crowns to be correct. As the facts brought forth and regarding the nature of the symbol cannot be questioned, it is evident that we have a positive foundation for their application. For the leopard-like beast is a descendant of the four ancient empires. Therefore, he represents the world, but more particularly the entire Western civilization with their civil and religious systems. Consequently, the head represents Christendom only. Brother John says that the beast having seven heads represents Christendom only, For John says the beast having seven heads and ten horns, and upon the horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the same, the name of blasphemy. The fact that there is the name of blasphemy on the heads is an additional proof that they can only represent religious organization, for blasphemy is equivalent to hypocrisy, and hypocrisy means an attempt for the mixing of the sacred with the common. But the Yahweh says, I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews, that's Christians, parentheses, and are not, but are of the synagogue of the Satan. Revelation 2:9, are whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. 1 Timothy 1:20. Therefore, son of man, speak unto the house of the Israel, and say unto them, thus saith the Yahweh, yet in this your fathers have blasphemed me, and that they have committed a trespass against me. Ezekiel 20, verse 27. Your iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers together, saith Yahweh, which have burned incense upon the mountains and blasphemed me upon the hills, therefore will I measure their former work and into their bosom. Isaiah 65:7. Disobedience to the word of the Yahweh is blasphemy. Naturally, the question arises, who could these blasphemous denominations be? They can certainly be many, consider the multiplicity of the sects, for the prophetic word of the Yahweh, speaking of this present time, says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. 2 Peter 3, 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap unto themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. 2 Timothy 4:3 and 4. What has brought the present day confusion? Because they have departed from the sound Bible truth is the only answer that can be given. Is it possible that all can be right when no two believe alike, with but one Bible, one gospel, one Lord, that's one Yahweh, one hell to shun, and one heaven to gain? Yahshua said, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. John 10:16. Such satanic confusion as the one at the present time was about to arise in the days of Paul, as the Spirit of Yahweh moved upon him, he uttered the words with a sharp rebuke, "Now I beseech thee, brethren, by the name of our Savior Yahshua, that ye shall speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the name, in the same mind, and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Shiloh, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of the Yahshua. Is the Yahshua divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? 1 Corinthians 1:10-13. How great the contrast between the position taken by the Spirit-filled servants of Yahweh and the present-day self-styled apostasy. For Yahshua said, all these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father, nor me. John 16:3. Had all these so-called Christian leaders been led by the Spirit of Yahweh, they would imitate the example set forth by the prophets and the apostles. Then there could have been no division in the biblical truth. The present day condition is indeed a blasphemy and and fulfills the words of the Master, for there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall, let's do it again, and for there shall arise false Yahshuas and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall receive the very elect. And that's in Matthew 24:14. For the view of this great confusion, there is apparent difficulty
to immediately determine who is right and who is wrong. For Yahshua said, again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 18:19. There could be nothing more pleasing unto Yahweh than for one of his children to ask in the sincerity the way of the truth. Therefore, such a one shall not be left in darkness. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Matthew 7:7. If people care to find the truth, it can easily be done. But the fact of the matter is that they do not care. People would neither be deceived, would rather be deceived than to ask Yahweh to show them his truth. Yes, they pray, but their prayers are not heard, for he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. Proverbs 28:9. The so-called Christians of this day say that scripture is in the Old Testament. Okay. And for the Jews only, we turn to the New Testament for the light upon the subject. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5:19. For the honest in the heart with surprise hear the word from the impious scoffer of the day. That does not mean the law of Yahweh. It is a commandment of the Yahshua. Thus, thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself. True, but which one of the Ten Commandments can you break and yet fulfill the commandments of the Yahshua? And if you love your neighbor, will you dishonor your Yahweh or not the first four are kept to show honor to Yahweh, and the last six to rest our love, to test our love on the men? Said the Yahshua, on these are the two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Matthew 22:40. And is the begotten Son of Yahweh working in the opposition to his Father? For the revelation of Yahshua, Son of Yahweh, that the Yahweh gave unto him for the showing unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, Revelation 1:1. Here is the patience of the saint. Here are they that keep the commandments of Yahweh and the faith of the Yahshua, Revelation 14:12. Has not Yahshua said that the saints keep the commandments? That his saints keep the commandments of the Yahweh? Again, the carnal mind raises an objection, for they keep the commandments of Yahweh and not the law. But the Spirit declares, if you have suspected persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Okay? That is in Galatians 2:10. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also do not kill. If thou commit no adultery, then if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of the liberty. James 2:9-12. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life, and may enter in through their gates and to the city. Revelation 22:14. For the keeping of his commandments is the ticket to heaven. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according unto this word, it is because there is no light in them. Isaiah 8:20. Because the carnal mind is enmity against Yahweh, for it is not subject to the law of the Yahweh, neither indeed can be. Romans 8:7. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. 1 John 2:4. After losing one devilish loophole, the carnal mind takes hold of another, determined to serve the devil and to see himself, and with his nose in the air, he offers the words, we are not to keep the law according unto the letter, but according to the law. According to the law, let's read that again. We are not to keep the law according to the letter, but according unto the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth the life. The misconception of what truth is leads him to believe that to keep the law according unto the Spirit, he must disregard the written word of Yahweh and keep the divine law according unto his own way and in harmony with the carnal mind, making void Yahweh's own inscription. See Exodus 31:18. Thus exalting the finite above the infinite, what greater blasphemy can one commit? We give here a brief explanation of the subject.